WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It'd be a Sunday night, and that means only one thing. It's WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, twitch.tv/WTR Live, wildtalkradio.com. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. I'm, of course, the producer, Sir Rockin, joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
Sup?
We also have the one and only Tim Stein.
I am here, believe it or not, despite what's on my television.
Despite what's on your television?
Despite what's on my television, I'm here.
You're here and not there.
I'm here, not there.
Okay.
But I'm watching that there while I'm here.
Okay. So we've got that all covered. Now,
hey, look, it's the Housewives reunion. He's really invested, okay? Just
I'm gonna kick your ass.
Oh, Flames are down 4-0. Okay. Okay. Good to know. But
No, not good to know.
It's good information. It's information. I'm not supposed to know information.
Fake news.
Fake news. But apparently there's real news and why they haven't been introed yet, so we'll do this. Apparently, somebody's birthday today. That would be one.
Do we have to pay anybody for that song?
No, it's royalty free. It's YouTube.
Oh, wonderful.
It's YouTube.
The Bossa Nova version is royalty free.
It's Keishi's birthday, everybody.
It is my birthday. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday, man!
Don't tell us how old, because we can actually use that for CB radio.
He's 83.
For wrestler birthdays.
That's fair.
It's not my birthday, chat. It's Keishi's. Mine's in 2 hours. Today's Keishi.
Oh, yours is tomorrow? That's amazing.
Yeah. Mine's in 2 hours. Keishi's now. So we celebrate him.
Well, I'm not going to say happy birthday to you, Rock, for 4 hours.
Cool. I'll read that in the morning. Anyway. Anyway, we're here. We're here to talk wrestling. Tim's team is kind of trailing at the moment. But hey, that's okay. There are more games to be played.
And the score could turn around at the drop of a hat.
I mean,
it is Calgary versus Edmonton. You never say it's over until the last 30 seconds.
I mean, wasn't there a game 6-5 the other day?
Do either team have a goalie?
Someone stands in the net and wears the equipment and holds the proper stick.
But are they really are they like truly a goalie, or is it like when you bring Albert Pujols in when you know you're getting shellacked to just kind of throw batting practice to the other team because you just don't want to use any of your pitchers?
Oh yeah, no, it's totally different than the first round when Markstrom was throwing shutouts and only letting one goal in per game and stuff like that. But when you're playing the best player in the damn league,
Austin Matthews isn't playing tonight.
No, Connor McDavid is the best player in the league. He's better than Austin Matthews. And I will die on that hill.
Will you?
Yeah, I get it. Austin Matthews with like, what, 60 goals, big deal. Austin Matthews, if he was the best player in the league, would have gotten his Toronto Maple Leafs into the second round.
Care to rebut, Brett?
I can't really rebut when they haven't made it out of the playoff or out of the first rounds in, you know, a decade and a half. So
they haven't made it out of the first round of the playoffs before the last time Calgary did.
And as we all know, that's a very long time ago.
No, it was 2015.
Still a long time ago.
But Calgary's made it out of the first round three times since 2000 compared to Toronto, the hockey team that hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1967.
I hope everyone's writing all this down so people will test them later.
There is a quiz. Pay attention.
I've already failed.
Also, we'll just do this.
It's time to throw more sticks into the fire as Fire on Ice continues on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I remember that bumper.
That was our hockey minute, folks.
So yeah, we're here to talk about things in the world of professional wrestling. Tim, I asked an actual question. How long before the period starts?
Oh, probably about 5 minutes or so before the third period kicks off.
Okay. So let's talk. We'll start with Sasha then. Sasha and Naomi have been suspended indefinitely from World Wrestling Entertainment because they walked out this past Monday after a difference in creative. What is your reaction when you heard this, Tim?
Well, I understand their point of view, but there are better ways to handle shit. I mean, this is the second time that we know of that Sasha's walked out, and her differences actually extend a little bit further back than most people believe or know. Her disgruntlement, if you will, saw its genesis when she lost her spot at WrestleMania to Ronda Rousey.
Okay. We'll put in supposedly into all that, because unless you hear it from her, you don't know for sure.
Okay, air quotes, allegedly.
Yeah, just because it's not a factual statement, because some people will hear it and go, oh, that's a factual statement. It's what people are saying, but until you hear her say it, it's not actually true. Continue.
So, yeah, you know, as far as that goes, and like I said, I can understand, but there are better ways to handle it. Sasha, it's not that big of a deal. She's got some stuff going on. With Hollyweird, The Mandalorian new season will be kicking off pretty soon. She's expected to be in future seasons of that TV series. I'm trying to remember who puts it out. Is it Disney Plus?
It would be a Disney Plus series. Yes.
Yeah, Disney Plus. And if she's connected with Disney Plus, she's not going to be hurting.
Casey, what was your reaction when you heard this story drop?
I, like Tim, I can kind of understand their frustration, especially the fact of, you know, not giving the women's tag team titles more of a spotlight, considering they are titles, and just kind of having them kind of go second fiddle to the other matches doesn't really bode well as far as WWE's confidence in them being a relevant part of their brand. Do I agree with them walking out? Not 100%, but I mean, it's probably one of those things where Sasha did it before, so she was like, well, this got me some, you know, got me results before, let's try it again. Neither one of them are in a horrible position if they don't wrestle for WWE ever again. So that's, you know, I'm sure they're not super, super worried. Naomi's contract, from what I understand, was coming up anyway. But I don't know. Like, I understand where they're coming from. Tim makes a good point of there are better ways to do this. But at the same time, what we don't know, we don't know. So when it comes to the WWE, sometimes there aren't better ways to do things in certain aspects. A lot of us are kind of, you know, grasping at straws and making opinions based on the little knowledge that we have or the knowledge that they've been allowing us to hear. So
that's it. I guess that's a good thing. You brought up how what we're hearing from WWE, and I'll post this to you, and I'll throw it to Brent. Is WWE being too harsh in the how they're handling this?
Okay, so you go first.
Overall, probably, but if you look at it from the standpoint of them as a company, they're clearly, I'm sure, part of it is to, you know, try and prevent other wrestlers from doing this in the future. So they're kind of just like, well, this has been happening recently a decent amount, so we're just going to do this and hopefully it won't happen again. Especially, you know, it's been relatively effective before. There are options for other places that people can go wrestle now, and they're trying to discourage that by, you know, keeping people under contract and stuff like that. So I'm not surprised that they went as extreme as they did. Could they themselves have handled it differently publicly? Yeah, probably.
I'll come back to the harshness thing in a second. Brent, are they being too harsh?
I don't think WWE is being too harsh, because they need to get out in front of it. From a, you know, in a corporate standpoint, you have to kind of get out in front of it, because we've seen what happens if the WWE just kind of goes radio silent. Everyone will start talking about, oh, well, Sasha's going to go to AEW. Oh, well, Naomi can go here. Oh, and the story starts to spiral. Mm-hmm. With this, you at least can kind of control it by being like, they're suspended indefinitely. We're going to put the titles, you know, they've essentially turned in the titles, so they were forfeited. And then we're going to, you know, put together a tournament. We're going to crown ourselves champions. It's kind of keeping it somewhat controlled. And I mean, we still have some words getting out about, you know, like, oh, supposedly this person is close to Naomi and they're saying this. Do we know it's true? No. Do we know that what WWE itself is putting out is fully true? No, but, you know, it's going to probably land somewhere in the middle. But at the same time, honestly, also, they have to kind of set a line for this isn't harsh, because Sasha has a contract. She's getting paid for that contract. If she doesn't satisfy that contract, they will suspend her for not performing. That's what they're doing with this statement. And they're also putting out there for everyone in their locker room, hey, we understand that, you know, there may be things that you don't necessarily like. This is not the way to do it, in their mind.
So the reason why I ask if it's too harsh, because everyone on the internet thinks they're being too harsh. I can't believe they're doing this, and they've said this about them. All they said, they were unprofessional, right? That's the main keyword in it. They're not cutting promos on the talent saying how, you know, how unprofessional they were. They had Cole read a statement. That's as harsh as they've gotten. Do we all remember 2002 when Steve Austin walked out of WWE?
What?
They did an entire Bite This show about it. They had a whole Confidential show about it. They had The Rock return weeks early to cut a promo on him.
Well, hell, just remember, like, when Warrior left. It was like he got buried. They put out an entire documentary about how batshit crazy he was.
Well, that was years later, though.
Oh, no, I understand. But I'm still saying, like,
that was years later and a lot of cheap shots from Warrior.
Yeah, but in the moment, you had Vince McMahon, The Rock, cut promos on how disappointed they were and how he should get the F out if he doesn't want to be there, about taking his ball home. And all they did was, on Raw, on SmackDown, they were unprofessional. Like,
well, and if you remember, Steve has come out and said after the fact, yeah, that probably wasn't the best move for me to do. In the moment, I acted emotionally, but looking back, I probably could have handled that better.
100%. And I mean, that kind of goes with most things. Like, you should always try and, like, take a step back, allow yourself to kind of get out of your head so that you can make the best decision.
As Herm Edwards always says about social media, think before you hit send, because you can't take it back.
And when 100%.
It comes, And when it comes to this, I understand, like, Sasha and Naomi, this is where a lot of allegedly comes into play. Allegedly, were promised certain things. Those may or may not have been realized. They did, you know, win the belts at Mania, which is a pretty big thing. And they were going to be featured with, you know, the two people with the belts moving forward. So it's not like they were getting relegated to main event, though I do understand the idea of we want to, you know, put some shine on this, and what you're having us do is completely relegating it.
Yeah, and also at some point, and you've got to accept this, whether you take it with a grain of salt or not, at some point the ego kicks in and you start believing your own press a little bit in a lot of cases, a lot of cases.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't think it's one of those things where Sasha and Naomi are completely without fault. I don't think that WWE is completely without fault. I think both of them have stake in this game and, you know, have some faults that they need to address. But at the same time, ultimately it comes down to WWE signs the paychecks. They get to control what happens on their show.
As they called it, their scripted television show.
Yeah, it's that thing of, I completely get it. You know, if you're unhappy with where you are, there are certain avenues. You are more than happy to explore some of those. But at the same time, if you do enjoy getting that money every other week, in some cases, there's times when you go, damn it, okay, I'm going to do this. Not happy about it, but I'm going to do it.
So we'll see what happens with Sasha and Naomi going forward. There'll probably be more updates, good and bad, here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll kind of maybe eventually hear their side of the story. We'll see. But next Sunday, live on pay-per-view, is Double or Nothing from AEW. Your main event for the first time in 8 or 9 years, I think, Brent. CM Punk is challenging for a world championship against Hangman Adam Page.
Mm-hmm.
How excited are you guys about seeing CM Punk challenge for gold again?
I'm going to defer this to Casey before I give my 2 cents on AEW.
You're ready to make friends on the show and not just Twitter?
Possibly, but it's more that there's something I have to say specifically about that match. But I also have an entire review show that I get to, you know, rant and rave about with.
That's fair. I will be excited to see this match more if CM Punk gives the rub to Hangman Adam Page and loses, because I mean, a lot of that is kind of what he's, guys like Darby Allin and all these young upstart talents. So, I mean, him working with all these guys and everybody and their dog knew at some point he was going to challenge for the title. If you knew anything about wrestling and knew anything about CM Punk. So hopefully, I want Adam Page to win. I think they're, from a booking standpoint, they're kind of doing things nicely in kind of like they're still making it look like it could go either way. So as far as booking this feud is concerned, in my opinion, I think it's well, and I just hope that I hope Adam Page wins.
Before Brent talks, Casey, who was the heel and who's the babyface?
I think it depends on the town, brother.
It's the way it seems, right?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're gonna book two guys who are quote unquote babyfaces, this is a good way to do it. Because you can have a match between two good guys and still make it be a good match. It's a lot harder to do it with heels because then you don't know who to cheer. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're wrestling fans. They, one way or another, someone's gonna get chosen, or they do the back and forth thing. Like I said, I like how they're booking this. They're not really like, no one's leaning hardcore one way or another as the heel, which is how it should be, because these guys are theoretically both baby faces. So,
all right, Brent, go.
So the one thing I want to say about this match, this is possibly a turning point for AEW. And I'm not trying to use hyperbole here, but this is the first big chance they have to show where they want to take this company moving forward.
How so?
Well, look at who was your first AEW champion?
Chris Jericho.
Who was your second?
Mox.
Who was your third?
Omega.
And now you have Adam Page. Adam Page is facing a guy who your quote unquote, you know, indie darling fan or, you know, your lapsed WWE fan absolutely wants to see holding the belt because they want to believe it is 2004 all over again. I'm sorry, 2014 all over again. They want it to be the summer of Punk. If you do that, you have officially shown that you have turned the page from what you originally professed AEW to be, and you have gone to the corporate model. You essentially have sold out and have become the New York Yankees if you put the belt on Punk right
now. I would disagree, because Punk was the guy Tony wanted all along, so putting the belt on him is probably what he has wanted to do for a long time.
I understand, but Paige is the first real person for AEW, I would say. Kenny Omega, sure, he wasn't a WWE guy, but he was always, you know, that one big name that was sitting there that, you know, you knew eventually was going to be getting that world title. Adam Page is that guy that they've been really trying to build this entire company to being a star. Because remember, he was one of the first people to talk at the press conference when they announced AEW. He was talking about how he wanted to be the world champion. He competed against Jericho in the finals to get that world championship. They've had 2 years of building him as, you know, drunk cowboy and cowboy shit and everything. And in my opinion, he is that kind of, like I said, startup AEW. And Punk is the flashy name. Punk is the one that you, if you put the belt on him, you are trying to pop ratings and keep it, you know, keep eyes there rather than really try to grow and build your company. If you bring in Punk, and I understand that Tony has wanted him for a while and that, you know, it took him a while to get into it, but by God, he got into the company and look, he's having fun and he's only, you know, 50 something or late 40s. But if you put the belt on Punk, you have shown that what this is going to be from now on is, yeah, we want to get those outside guys. We're not really going to build our own people. I understand that there's MJF, but I mean, hell, we don't even know if he's going to be with the company in 2 years because he's already planting the seeds of, I may leave. And if you believe reports, him and Tony don't quite see eye to eye.
So Adam Page is your world champion, but does he actually feel like the world champion? Because the world champion should have the show focused around him, and weekly it doesn't feel that way, does it?
No, and I'll be the first to admit that, like, yeah, they build the show around rating poppers. Punk, Brian, Moxley, whichever special announcement they're going to do this week or next. And Page, when he wins the belt, or like, if they want to put him in a death match, which seems to happen every other month with him defending the title, you know, that'll be a main event and people will talk about how great it is. But then, yeah, he also ends up second match in stealing someone else's finisher to set up a feud.
Casey, you talked about wanting Adam Page to win, correct?
I did, yes.
Okay, so now look at from the fan base you've brought in who really likes Punk. If he doesn't win, do you lose that fan base?
Depends on how they book it. I mean, it's one of those things where you can probably book Punk to lose that way. And he doesn't lose anything because he's CM Punk. He can very easily come back and go for a title against another opponent if it switches, or even come back later and face Adam Page later. And I mean, it could be like Adam Page being basically, if memory serves, the first person to beat CM Punk would be a really good way to solidify Adam Page as a homegrown champion.
MJF.
And because...
MJF.
MJF.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Twice in Chicago on the same night.
That's right. But, I mean, was that done by Shenanigans? I can't remember. My brain sucks. I get dropped on it too much.
I mean, you know, a normal MJF Shenanigans, but
yeah.
It was clear they were trying to put him over and beating CM Punk.
Yeah, but they can still use him to lose to Adam Page and give Adam Page a big rub. And it doesn't take anything away from CM Punk. So could they have Adam Page retain the title and then have CM Punk win it from him or someone else later? I think so. That would be, otherwise it's kind of like, it's one of those things where this could be one of the biggest title defenses that Adam Page has, and then if he loses it like this, it kind of knocks him all the way back down to where he was when he lost it to Jericho.
When it comes to this, yeah, he had the hour-long match with Brian, well, both matches, hour and a half essentially with Brian, He's had the death match with Lance Archer. He's had the title defense and death match with Adam Cole. But I feel like if you can put a win over Punk on Adam Page, that makes you feel like, you know, okay, he's earned this. I feel like even though you've had the Bryan and Archer stuff, if you have Punk beat him, then Page becomes kind of like Casey, just another guy on the roster again. Like, he got some wins, but I don't know. This is harsh to say. It'll feel like a Dolph Ziggler kind of world championship run where you're like, okay, he got a win or two, and then he's going to settle back into, like, maybe contend for the TNT title.
Yeah, and that's, I don't want to see that. I very much like Adam Page, and I want to see him, like, be a super 100% established, legit world champion in AEW, because I think he deserves it. And so this is why he should beat Punk.
When did Paige win the belt? November, was it?
Yes.
So we're about 7 months into a title reign? I mean, that's not too shabby of one, even if he were to lose it.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's fair. I just think that it would benefit him as a champion more to have a win against one of those big, we brought in this guy. He's not one of our OGs. We brought him in. And then if he can beat one of the, like, big ticket guys that they're so trigger happy to bring in, I think it helps.
A resume builder.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. I think Hangman should beat Punk, but it's like, it's CM Punk. It's that big, you can make headlines with type move if Punk beats Paige.
Oh, I get that too. Because, I mean, you can put that everywhere and it'll turn people's heads who haven't, been in with the product of AEW or have fallen away from wrestling in general. They'll see a name like CM Punk wins title. They'll be like, if they make it like vague enough, they'll be like, is he back in WWE? And then they'll start looking.
See, the problem is, I think if you put the belt on Punk, it doesn't do a lot, or it doesn't do as much as I think some people will think. Because Punk debuted, yeah, you popped some good ratings, and then they settled back. And then, you know, okay, maybe it popped again when Punk faced MJF in the dog collar match, then it settled back. I think Punk winning a title will be great, but again, it will settle right back to where it's been. I don't think it's going to be like a landscape changer like some people will think it is.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but they're not going to do 1.2 every week just because Punk has the belt.
They would hope they would if he did it that way.
Oh, they absolutely will hope it, but then reality is going to set in that that's not where their market is, because everyone that wants to see Punk win and Punk get the belt isn't going to stay around to watch John Silver take on whoever. If you're going for that, quote, lapsed fan that is the heart of CM Punk, they'll want to see, like, all the Punk guys going over. And again, that's where I was saying earlier, if Punk wins the belt, that could be a real big shift in philosophy for that company to pull it off.
So what match, Casey, besides the world title match, are you looking forward to the most on Sunday?
That is a good question.
Pulling up the card.
No, I had the card pulled up. I'm just looking through it to make sure that I have them all, because there are, as of right now, 10 regular matches and one buy-in match. So there's a lot going on.
Oh, no, I have 9 matches and then the one buy-in.
I think I counted 10. I counted 10.
I went to Wikipedia and it's got 10 full matches, including the buy-in.
I'm on, yeah, I don't know. I'm on some random website. I like the story of Wardlow versus MJF. So from like a story point perspective, I think short of kind of what they're doing with Paige and Punk, that is probably one of the best story matches that I want to watch. I want to watch the Jericho Appreciation Society versus the Blackpool Combat Club, just because that's just going to be a slugfest in the best way.
As you're looking, should MJF lose to Wardlow?
Should he lose to Wardlow? Well, I guess that depends on whether they want to keep Wardlow in AEW or not. Because, like, if he loses, he can't sign an AEW contract. So then what happens to him? Does he go to ROH? Is that the loophole?
I mean, that would be a terrible loophole, since ROH has no TV deal, no actual presence on anything.
Yes, but But them giving him an ROH contract that states, oh, you can also appear on these AEW shows is the loophole to get around Wardlow beating MJF.
Because MJF losing twice on pay-per-view is not the best look for a guy who's been undefeated for a long time. Because that's losing to Punk on pay-per-view back in February wasn't the right.
Yeah.
I mean, based on where they're at now, it was the move they had to make. But you went 50-50 there, and you know, it's not the greatest move in the world.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the stipulations for this match, it's kind of like, unless you want to like send Wardlow out to pass and be like, hey, thanks for coming out, we really appreciate you, bye, he kind of has to lose.
I don't disagree. I think Wardlow should beat MJF from the story's perspective. That should happen, and it should be quick.
It's just a matter of like, if they can do it in a way that quote unquote protects MJF in his loss, yeah, if they have him lose clean, I have no idea. Will MJF be able to get his heat back? Probably like 3 seconds from the beginning of the first Dynamite after he loses. Yes, he would. But
yeah, MJF has not gotten over in a lot of his feuds.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of expect that from, you know, the type of heel that he is. He's kind of like the build the feud and he gets one over all the time, but at the very end, he gets his comeuppance. It's like, MJF is the almost classic heel.
Oh, and I don't deny that. The problem is you're trying to build him up as like your top heel. And
oh,
I mean,
sure.
I know Cole is sitting up there, and Cole's the one that's getting the meteoric run as the heel. But it just feels like for what they're trying to do with MJF and the results that they're getting, or the results they're putting him in, I should say, it's not really helping. Like, is he great on the mic? Absolutely. He can get everyone to hate him with like three words at the drop of a hat, but you eventually need to have him start to, you know, get one over on people.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that they're in right now.
Yeah. Like I say, the only way that they can get around that is Wardlow loses, but he gets an ROH contract, which means he can appear on AEW TV. But then what that does for him in the long run kind of sucks.
I was going to say, that feels very convoluted for the fact of
they very much painted themselves into a corner with this match. They almost if MJF loses, what does that do to MJF? If Wardlow loses, what does that do to Wardlow? They kind of can't win for losing in this one.
And all they did is rehash the Cody storyline with the build for it.
Yeah. So hopefully they have a good solution, and I'm interested to see what it is.
Brent, what's the match you're looking forward to the most?
From a pure performance standpoint, depending on how it goes with one match, I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing the final of the men's tournament.
Yeah.
Because you either get Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole, which would be really awkward, seeing as they're both on the same side and both like heel dynamic. I don't know how that would work on the show, but you've also got Samoa Joe there, but I feel like, you know, that's just waiting on Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt to cost him.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, like, I really wouldn't mind from a match standpoint if they do O'Reilly Cole. It would just, in my opinion, feel really awkward. But if you get Cole versus Samoa Joe, I'm not going to complain either, because those guys will go and Joe will try to kill him.
Hey, look, Calgary got a pity goal.
Well, I mean, it's bound to happen.
However you line that up, it's going to be, this will be the, like, to quote Rhett, this will be like the workhorse match for the men.
I mean, like I said, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to the performance of it. It's going to be great. I know the internet is looking forward to the Hardys versus the Young Bucks, because that's what they've been salivating over for about 12 years. But also, we have to remember that Matt and Jeff are not the Matt and Jeff from the tables, ladders, and chairs matches from all those years ago. This is the dad of Matt and Jeff now.
Yeah, it's going to be, that's a bit too late for it to be what, hopefully they'll figure out a way to meet the expectations of everybody.
The problem is with the Hardys, I feel like they need a little bit of that smoke and mirrors of like, let's make it a ladder match. Let's make it no rules. But at the same time, you know, it's the Triple H factor of like, okay, he's competing. They're probably not going to put together a 20-minute great tag match together. So let's add some bells and whistles. But I feel like it really does need to be just a regular tag match, which I feel will at some point expose the Hardys for like, oh, Yeah, they're kind of old now.
Jeff will just take off his shirt. Everyone will be fine.
Yay! Wait, when did Jade Cargill versus Anna Jay get added?
That was a question. That was one a question I wanted to ask you, Brent, because I saw the card yesterday. I was like, what?
Did that get added to the card?
Friday.
Okay.
Because
that was some build.
What happened? Statlander was wrestling Red Velvet, and then they attacked Statlander after the match, and Ruby Soho came out for the save and got squashed, and then Anna Jay came out and stole Mark Sterling's crutch and chased them out of the ring. And then later on, Jade Cargill was just like, all right, come get this ass whooping. And wait. That match was made.
Okay, wait. So I found the mat. So, Keishi, the reason that Wikipedia only has 10 is because the MJF Wardlow is not on there because it's not official yet. So that's where that match was. Number two, remind me, Anna was like number 12, wasn't she? She's already faced Jade Cargill for that belt and lost.
Yep.
So why did she get another crack? Because she stole a crutch?
Because everybody else has wrestled Jade Cargill twice and she's the only one who's wrestled her once? Question mark?
They're saving Britt? Question mark?
Well, she's busy, isn't she?
Yeah, she's busy. That's why I was like...
Well, possibly, because you still have the semifinal matches for the women's tournament to go this week. You can eat, because it's either Tony or Britt taking on Ruby or Chris.
So you're...
She's far enough busy that they can't... That they wanted to get a little bit of time to build this TBS title match. I almost said TNT.
That's okay. It's really funny that the TBS title is defended on TNT more regularly, and the TNT title is now defended on TBS more regularly.
Yeah, well, what do you do?
You put it on the damn network that it's called for.
Or just create actual names for belts that aren't channel related.
Hey, Rock, don't worry. They're going to make the Court TV Trios Championship when Kenny Omega comes back.
Yeah, and that apparently is
I'm sorry. The True TV Trios Championship.
True. I was going to say Court TV? What?
Well, because I think Court TV used to be a Turner thing. But it's going to be True TV because I have to remember what all channels show the NCAA tournament, and those are the Turner networks.
Well, now now it could be just your Warner Media Discovery Championship.
Oh, yeah. Your Discovery Champion. Soon it'll
WMD.
Be the HBO, HBO Max, some kind of title. Oh, but I can tell you the one match I am absolutely looking forward to, Rock.
Hookhausen
versus Tony Nese and smart Mark Sterling.
At least it's on the buy-in.
Oh, Danhausen should never see a regular match, ever. He should always be the buy-in because he's shtick. He doesn't belong on a main card.
Yep, he has a role to play with the company. And
let's just call it what it was. Danhausen has a ceiling, a very moderate ceiling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's a good spot for it.
Yeah, it's fine being on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Or the buy-in, whatever you want to call it. How many matches? You said there's 11 matches and 10 matches in 4 hours?
There's 10 matches on the regular card, and then the Hookhausen is the buy-in match for 11 total.
Okay. So
it's going to be a long one.
Okay. So 3 hours, WWE, 6 matches, and it felt really good. 10 matches in 4 hours. Okay. That should be...
But here's the thing. Do we think Jade Cargill and Anna Jay is going to go anything longer than 7 minutes?
Also,
no.
By the way, Sting is not on the show yet, so who knows? We may get a Sting match too, because, Sting.
No. Remember, his ankle got pilmanized. He's not going
to
wrestle.
Oh. Is that the excuse to keep
that's how they. That's how they got him. That's how they got them off this card.
Yeah. Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb. That one could actually go about 10 or 15. I don't see much longer than that.
That should go.
But they'll beat the holy hell out of each other.
That should go 10. Should go under 10, yeah. Honestly. Should go under 10.
You're going to have your not Stadium Stampede, but Stadium Stampede match, the Anarchy in the Arena, with the 5-man versus 5.
That's 20 minutes of just whatever.
You're going to have probably about 15 minutes or so with the Triple Threat, because everyone's got to get their stuff in.
What's the Triple Threat?
Jurassic Express versus Team Taz versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland for the tag titles.
Yeah, it's 15 minutes.
Hardys versus Young Bucks is going to go 20 just because it's the Young Bucks.
Should go 12.
House of Black versus Death Triangle will be probably about 10 minutes.
Wait, repeat that match again.
House of Black versus the Death Triangle.
Boy, yep. I feel like we just saw that last pay-per-view. Oh, wait, we had a Rowan and instead
of
Phoenix.
Yeah, we had a Rowan, and that one was on the buy-in. That wasn't a real match.
That'll be a good 10 to 12-er.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
Kyle O'Reilly or Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole will be another about 15 to 20 because they'll just have to keep going. This card, I think, is going to feel by the end of the night like everyone's going to talk about how great all these matches were. But I think in the end, you're going to look at it and go, they really kind of overdid this card a bit. They tried to fit everything in and they needed to cut something.
And we did the Anarchy match. Yeah. Okay. So that's AEW. And then there's a match that's coming up the day after SummerSlam that everyone is so looking forward to.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
It's the return.
Why not everyone?
It was sarcasm.
Why not count as everyone?
Are you looking forward to the return of Ric Flair?
No.
Good. Because that was all sarcasm in there. It's like, no one wants to see this. Ric Flair's returning to the ring. Why?
Probably because he needs money.
He says it.
You can't say no.
He says
The first thing that ran through my mind when I saw that he's coming back for one more match was what's going on? Is he getting divorced again?
I mean, yeah, he already did.
No, they got back together.
Did they? I thought they were divorced.
I'm pretty sure when I was doing some investigation into the Sasha Naomi thing that I saw that Ric Flair got back together with whatever her name was. I'm sorry.
Whoever it is this time.
Oh boy.
I think they're divorced. They may be back together, but they're sure divorced.
They're back together. Not necessarily. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
If they're back together.
I got a really horrible politically incorrect joke right now that has absolutely nothing to do with wrestling.
And then keep it to yourself.
I don't want to!
Just keep it to yourself. So, Rick says he's talked to 40 doctors, and he's going to listen to the one that says he can wrestle.
I kept going till I got the answer I wanted.
That's basically what he said. Supposedly it was going to be, it's either a six-man tag or a one-on-one. Names have been thrown around. He's teaming with FTR against Rock and Roll Express and somebody, and Steamboat said no.
Yeah, Steamboat was supposedly brought on, and Steamboat said, I'm done.
That's why I like Ricky Steamboat.
Rock.
One of many, many reasons why I like Ricky Steamboat.
You know who Ric Flair is, Rock, right?
Yes.
If we're going to relate him to another sports analogy, the person who just cannot admit that their time has passed, he's Brett Favre.
Even I knew that reference.
There we go. I didn't want to assume, but...
The quote was, I don't have any aches or pains. I know I've had the health issues, but I asked 40 different doctors and decided I'm only going to listen to one. Not necessarily the one that was going to give me the right answer, but that I felt the most comfortable with.
Okay, time out. Let's break this quote down just a bit. So he's actually said he's not going to give credence to the people who give him the correct answer. He's going with whatever answer he wants, even if it's not in his own safe or best interest.
I'm going to go keep seeing doctors till I find some shyster that tells me that I can do what I want.
Ric Flair wants to be the wrestler. He wants to die in the ring. And that's not something that should be celebrated. That's not something that fans should be like, oh my God, that is so great. Look, he's going out the way he wanted to. No, I do not want to see a 70-plus-year-old man potentially expire in the ring. That's not enjoyable. I want to remember Ric Flair as he was in his prime.
No, he screwed that up when he came out of retirement the first time.
And, you mean when he started wrestling at Impact?
Yep.
But I mean, like, even, you know, like, I understand Terry Funk fighting in ECW. It's like, okay, in his 50s, probably not the best thing, but it helped that company out.
Yeah, and it benefited them.
It benefited them. It, you know, Terry could still kind of go as much as Terry could.
And they protected the shit out of him.
Right. But it's still that kind of thing, like, when we hear like Terry Funk kept coming back for another match, it wasn't that kind of nostalgic feel. It became sad. It became that thing when you heard Terry Funk's name, you were like, oh God, what now?
It's the Terry Funk 15th annual retirement tour.
Well, it's not even just the retirement tour, but it's just like him. It's like, you know, seeing him or like Jake Roberts trying to get in the ring now, you just kind of go, I don't want to see or remember this part. I want to remember what happened before. I want to remember them as they were, not what we see.
Yeah, he's completely 100% buggered up as any legacy he would have had.
And with Rick, it's just now, again, it's sad. It's a joke. It's just, he might as well be, essentially, he's probably going to be ending up fighting in, like, a large-scale bingo hall.
I'll explain to you exactly where he's fighting. So WWE is running the Titan Stadium in Nashville for SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. Ric Flair is working the Nashville Fairgrounds where TNA runs.
Oh my God.
Like, Ric Flair, you guys are talking about the grand scale of what Ric Flair is, and WWE's running this big show, and then you're going to have Flair in the fairgrounds?
Like I said, the only way I can describe this is sad.
But hey, if you out there want to see Ric Flair wrestle one more time, tickets go on sale on the 27th.
That's the sad part about it. There are going to be a lot of people who want to.
They're building a whole StarCast event around Ric Flair.
Wait, StarCast? Wow, I'm fucking shocked.
It's called Jim Crockett Promotions presents Ric Flair's final match. So you can...
Jim Crockett, yeah, figures.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Maybe Conrad will waddle his ass down to... You know, waddle with Flair down to the ring.
Carrying the suitcases full of money.
Well, we're at it. Why don't we just bring King Kong Bundy back?
That might be the only person they can get to fight Rick.
King Kong Bundy is dead?
Yes, yep. He is.
Exactly.
But if he wasn't, he'd wrestle him in his white sneakers.
Because people would ask in chat if he was still alive or not. So there's that. So everyone's, we're not in on Ric Flair returning.
No, if the promoter was worth any salt, they would just look at Rick and be like, no. You know, if you want to do what you did with NWA, come out and give an impassioned speech or be the MC for the night, sure. The second you put on a pair of boots, I would be like, nah, Rick, my insurance doesn't cover this. I don't care if you got, you know, approved by Dr. Nick Riviera in the back of a mall. We're not going to take this.
Hi, Dr. Nick. Hi, everybody. No, don't ever do that
again. Yeah, don't. No.
That means I'll be doing it again.
Oh, we know.
I'm not going to tell you when. You'll never know.
In 2 weeks, during the Hell in a Cell review show that we're doing.
Probably.
Can't believe it's 2 weeks away. Oh, Jesus.
It is, in fact, 2 weeks away. No preview. These guys aren't previewing the show, by the way, because there's a pay-per-view next week, so we're not going to be live, making that clear.
It won't be live. It'll be Memorex.
Nice.
I was going to hit the all-time greatest intro, but I'm just thinking about hitting the wrap-up music now for that joke right there, that joke in particular.
That joke killed the webcast.
Yeah, I think it does. I think we'll stay on a high note. We'll end it there.
Well, I don't know. We could have done two.
We'll get back to it.
We'll do it in 2 weeks. We'll do like six.
Well, we'll catch up at some point. Well, it's the summer. We'll have plenty of time to catch up.
Well, why don't you watch Raw tomorrow night, Rock?
Okay.
And then afterwards, do a webcast about it.
Maybe.
TBA.
Make sure you follow the socials on that one. We'll see.
It's possible it might happen, but it's probable it might not happen.
It's a timing thing. I don't have answers for you yet.
So, but otherwise,
it's Monday
you
could night.
Always, you know, get on Twitch and play Fortnite with friends.
That's
use a creator called Rockin' Sock.
Yeah, hashtag Epic Partner. We'll get to that. But yeah, Raw post shows normally Mondays 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll see about tomorrow. Thursday though, for sure
what's
we're live.
Thursday.
Thursday for sure we're live.
Oh, I know.
Okay, hold on.
What?
Not no show tomorrow. Confirm.
Okay, you just confirmed no show
tomorrow. All right,
there we go. We got confirmation.
Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Yes, The Rack is back live Thursday. We're going to talk like 2 weeks worth of news and things, and we'll catch everyone up. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, The Rack. Lindsay's back. And 6/23/22, 10.
Hike? What?
6/23/22 will be 10.
Oh, really?
See, you picked up on it the second time.
I'm doing the Ty Dillinger fingers for that, just to let you know.
Okay, fair enough. Well, congratulations. I didn't realize it was that much.
Yeah. Time flies.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Anyway, Saturday night.
There's impressiveness there.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, to another edition of CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Before that will be Fortnite with Friends. And okay, so Tim mentioned the creator code Rocket Soccer. You can use Lindsay Ward as well. Hashtag Epic Partner. And Thursday, everyone go buy your Obi-Wan Kenobi skins. Just do the thing. Just use the code. Use the code.
Do they do the sounds on the Fortnite as well?
I don't.
Star Wars Daddy is hitting the item shop.
Will you get the? Well, hello there.
Probably yes.
Actually, he is getting an emote that is a little message. So I'm not sure if it will be like, "May the Force be with you," or if it's going to be, "Hello there."
We'll find out Thursday when the stuff drops.
I'm so happy.
Just use the codes. Hashtag Epic Partner. Anyway, next Sunday, we're not live because there's a pay-per-view, which means CBRO Not So Live Live will be available the week next week at some point.
We have homework.
We're scheduling and things and... Anyway.
Oh, yeah, we need to see if our third is available.
Gotta talk to the third. Anyway,
yeah.
Tap Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday on the Facebook and the Twitters. Tim?
You can follow me on the Twitters at Flames Forums. If you're in the Calgary area and you're interested in my self-employment business type stuff, you can follow me at Tim's_toolbox. You'll get tips and tricks and images of my latest projects for customers in the Calgary area. Yes, I will travel out of town.
How far?
Well, this week I will be driving 2.5 hours north of Calgary for a 2-day job working on odds and ends in a house. And my accommodation and fuel would be paid for. I'm assuming that I will get fed, or at least paid for to get fed.
Oh, so just Canada is all that you're talking about for travel?
Well, that all depends. Why, you got shit that's going on in Arizona you need fixed?
Not sure.
Well, if you do, you have to pay my travel, accommodation, passport, and yeah, I'll come down and give you a break. A bit of a deal. I'll knock $5 off my hourly rate for you. I was very close about 2009, 2010. I was very close to actually making it to Philadelphia to build a fence for somebody. It fell through, but it was damn close. So
the fence or the plans?
The plans fell through.
Okay.
To build the fence in Philadelphia.
I didn't know if the fence fell through.
There was no fence.
Okay.
So you couldn't have fallen through it.
Casey's on Twitter.
Yes, I'm not building fences. But you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. Sometimes I post a lot, sometimes I don't post at all. Because I'm inconsistent and suck at social media. Yay!
So what you need to do is really screw him up. Go to either Instagram or Twitter and wish him a happy birthday. Force him to actually post on social media.
Oh, no. There will be posts today because it's my birthday.
You got no choice. You got to thank your cousins.
yeah, and the masses of wonderful friends that I have that wish me a happy birthday today.
Like the guys that you wrestle with?
Yeah. And some of the guys that I was hanging out with this weekend. I got a few people to put over. Also, if you feel so inclined, you can click on some links in the descriptions of those and drop into my Redbubble merchandise store. Peruse around, get yourself a shirt, maybe a coffee mug, something like that. Even having a look is wildly appreciated. Thank you so much.
Perfect.
Brent.
Follow the intern.
Huh?
Go, plug, what? Do thing.
Oh, I thought he was saying something else. I didn't know he said follow. That's why. So I'm not building fences like Tim, but I'm trying to mend them.
Build fences. I'm just going to interrupt. I don't just build fences.
Or okay, stairways.
Continue.
I'm trying to mend fences, so you can see that on Twitter at King Kittens, where I'm trying to make friends. I tend to make friends, but not in a proper way. And then you can also see Rock and I have fun with Fortnite with friends, because oh god, the past two nights have been something special.
He also hosts the Intern's Corner on Super Radio.
Oh yes, we talked about Empire Strikes Back, video games, and David Bowie last night. So,
David Bowie?
Yeah, Let's Dance hit the number one on the Billboard Top 100 in 83 this past week.
I remember when that album came out.
Send us home, Tim.
That's it, everybody. I hope you had a fun time paying attention to us talking wrestling. Some of us more so than others. Don't forget, programming note, no WTR next Sunday night because of a pay-per-view. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the stuff happening. That said, have a great couple of weeks, everybody. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.